This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-5 all-wheel drive, just $229 a month, or buy and get 0.9% APR financing up to 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN S0555242. MSRP 29990. Ends 3/31/25.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
14 teams? My goodness, the SEC is a basketball conference. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Happy Monday. It was a busy weekend, Mike, of weather. I came in today and Mike said, how was your weekend? And I'm a little grouchy because, you know, when you have to cut trees down that have fallen in your yard.
Right.
I'm like, and to your point last week, I think you did some yard work. Like, my back is still bothering me. And I'm like, but had a couple of trees that came down, Mike. And I got to tell this story, man, because as we start the show today, I know a lot of people were affected by the weather over the weekend. We are going to talk plenty about March Madness, guys, and the start of the tournament. Georgia is in. The SEC dominates the selection committee, and we're going to talk all about it throughout the course of the day. Also, the latest on the Falcons as we continue to count down to the draft now and what's going to happen after this free agent period last week certainly played out, and Kirk Cousins is still on the team as we told you he would be. But, yeah, I got to give some credit out to WSB as we were following the weather. I don't know what channel you guys watch or whatever, so we're watching the weather. We're down in the basement because of the storms that are coming, right? And it's sort of like, Mike, you know, it's like watching a game, like the pregame shows all day.
Right.
You're just sitting there and you're watching, you know, and it's in Alabama and it's coming. And you need to prepare, and it's coming. And in case there's a tornado, it's coming. And you're like, I know, it's coming. When is it going to get here? So you're sitting and you're just waiting and waiting. And then finally, right, and not in a good way, but just I'm ready to get through this. And it hits the Georgia line, and all this stuff is, you know, hitting. And they're like, oh, there's tornado spin-ups here and there. So we're watching WSB. I'm watching Brad on SB. And finally, we get to a point where he says there is a spin-up in the corner down south, and it's moving towards our way, moving up north. And he's like, it'll be up way, you know, Kennesaw.
That was the Paulding County one.
Correct.
That's the one I saw.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's coming up, a Roswell area. And we're like, oh. So now, you know, all night I've been so like, this isn't going to be anything. And then all of a sudden he's like, and it's going to be to you if you're on Shallowford Road. You need to get to your safe space. So now we're in the basement.
Oh,
and
crap.
Michelle's like, let's get under the mattress because we have an extra mattress down there. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. Let's go. So we ring up the dogs. Frankie, Louie, let's go. Mm-hmm. We grab the dogs. We got them on a leash. And now all of a sudden, I feel like we're about to go through a tornado because this thing is on the ground, or at least that's what he's saying.
Right.
So now we got to leave the TV. We still have power. And we get underneath the mattress and everything. And, you know, I'm trying to, like, sneak back in and, like, okay, is this thing really coming this way? Is it really coming? And then as soon as I try to walk back in to see Mike,
oh, man.
Sirens go off. You guys ever heard those sirens?
Yes, I have.
So when we first moved here, they test them every year. And we were like, come on, tornadoes. First time we've ever heard those sirens during a live storm. And we were like, I was like, this thing is coming. This thing is close. So get underneath the mattress. And Mike, all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I got a flashlight. Yeah. Now I've got my checklist. All right, I got everything just in case. But, you know, I don't know. This could be catastrophic. And then I look over and there's a lamp that my wife has like under the mattress so we can see each other and see what's going on. And what's connected to this little light? a whistle. And I said, is that a whistle? And she says, yes, that's a whistle in case we get trapped.
Well,
and
I'm like, when the rescuers come to find you, you blow the whistle.
Who the hell is thinking about a whistle? She's so oriented as far as detail oriented. Right. I could not believe that she had a whistle on this lamp. And I'm like, you've got a whistle on this lamp in case we get trapped. Yes, that's the only way somebody's going to hear us. Mike, I'm like thinking about this. All of a sudden, I go back in. I'm like, okay, where's this thing at? And literally as I walk back in, Brad's like, all right, your warning is gone. It's over. And nothing happened. And I'm not saying that it would not have, and you still need to be safe. But you talk about getting amped up. And then during that whole, we're hearing trees come down. Because the wind at that point is like 85, 90 miles per hour. So we're hearing trees, but we don't know if they're on the house. We don't know what's going on. So to your point, how was the weekend? So when all this passes, I go outside and there's two big-ass pines that are down in the neighbor's yard and our yard. And I'm like, oh, and they're on the fence. And I'm like, so I had to cut them out.
Yeah.
I had to cut them up.
So were you doing the Paul Bunyan? Did you hire a dude?
No, I did it.
All right, man. Look
at
you.
I did it.
Yeah. Now, we had same thing. The storm was down in, like, western – it was over, like, west of I guess by the way, the Kia plant is down that way, and it was coming up the 85 corridor. Same thing. So we had a different version of what you had, and then it kind of dissipated. But I took down some trees on Tuesday, chopped down about 10 big Georgia pines.
You were happy, weren't you?
But the thing is, it does create, and this is something the arborist, and for you guys who get houses, arborist is an expensive word for tree guy. And the arborist says, you know, you worry sometimes about the aerodynamic patterns because now trees, they clump together, they kind of
stay,
you know, steady, and they're
right.
You know, a group of five is stronger than one sitting by itself. So I'm watching, and this is the same thing, around midnight, and it's whipping up, and I'm out there, and one of my pine trees is literally bending like a hula girl, like one of those things you put on your dashboard.
Because they literally go 20 feet one way or the other.
I've never been more aware of pines than getting ready to buy a house. And my realtor, every backyard we go to, you got this many pines in your backyard.
Oh.
Never been as aware of pine trees as I am right now.
But no, we had, so similar, but nothing really happened other than just some branches in our neighborhood, knock wood. But we know that folks up in Paulding, we were just up in Hiram the other day on Wednesday. A lot of folks up there had some serious damage.
They did.
Up by the high school and all. So hope you made it through. But yeah, as Carl said, it's just scary, especially when they're tracking it right at your house.
That's
when you wig.
Well, and again, simultaneously when he says, get to your safe space, and the sirens go off, and you're like, whoa, who did that? Like, who triggered that button? So point is, be aware, man. Mm. We know the spring, we get crazy weather. You know, it just, you never know in Georgia. But bottom line is, if you are one of these people who, and I know there are a lot of you out there listening, you don't take this stuff seriously. You sit on the couch, oh, it's just another storm. And you don't, especially at night, Mike, when you can't see and what's coming. And it's just, so take that stuff serious, man. But I will tell you, it was an adventure. No sleep. Zero sleep Saturday. Because, you know, by the time this thing settled down and everything stopped blowing, you know, and it was still raining out. It was 3 a.m., you know?
Well, that's just it. I'm watching, and for selfish reasons, I'm watching the Australian Grand Prix. Great race. Heard Randy talking about it. And I was just hoping the weather was going to crap out the race on DirecTV.
Lose the power.
So I got to watch the race. But I'm cutting back and forth, David Chanley on Fox and then our buddy Dave and all that. But yeah, the thing is, when we bought the house, the deal was, you know, it was a trade-off. We got a pool, but there's no basement. So I got no man cave. I got a man loft. So we're on a slab. It's a four-bedroom house. But, you know, for me and Becky, it's all we need. But you really do want the basement at times like that. So what's the safest area? Under our stairwell. And so Becky gets all the towels and junk out. So we literally, Carl, we got the football helmets under the stairwell in the case that if you hear that's where you're going to go. They tell you to get in the middle, the most middle place with the most coverage in your house, and that's it for us.
In Texas, we didn't have basements.
Right.
The most homes don't. And so that's, you go to the middle of your house.
Right.
And, you know, we've rode out hurricanes and all kind of stuff there. Not direct hits, but still the aftermaths.
Right.
So anyways, man, that's storm coverage for us today at 92.9 The Game. And I hope you guys are safe. Hope you didn't have too much damage, but I know there are a lot of trees down. I'll tell you what was absolutely incredible over the weekend. And it was Sunday's selection show and hearing SEC after SEC team get selected to the tournament. And I will say this, guys. There was a time, and Mike and I mentioned this yesterday or last week. It was Kentucky and everybody else. Kentucky was a given. You might get another team or two in, maybe three SEC teams, and you were lucky to get those guys in the tournament. But when I say Kentucky and everybody else, they were really the only team that had a chance to win a national championship. That is not the case now. And you've got multiple teams in this tournament representing the SEC, including Georgia, who have a chance to make a run. Now, I don't know if Georgia is championship caliber, but Mike, I think Mike White has to make a run for us to feel a lot better about this season. I know making the tournament, you know, feels good, and yeah, all right, you made the tournament. That shouldn't be the end game, though. And I'll say this, Florida is really good. Really good.
Everybody's Alabama, on Florida. On the selection show, everybody on ESPN was all over Florida.
Because they can do it in many different ways. They can beat you in so many different ways. Alabama is really good. I know everybody's talking about Auburn and they're a one seed. We're going to talk plenty about it.
But two Mike, number ones and two number twos, for what was considered a football conference.
Huge.
And in the old days, you're right, maybe Tennessee would be good back in the day. Buzz Peterson before, you know, you take a different coach to go all the way back.
Every now and then.
But it was generally Kentucky the one year that Frank Martin made the run with South Carolina. Obviously, Billy D had his stuff to get Billy Donovan with Florida. But yeah, it's just a testament to how good this this conference is. I guess the only story was it's not really people complaining who got screwed, maybe West Virginia, but people saying North Carolina got preferential treatment because they were 1-12 versus quad one, the best competition. And a lot of folks say, look, that's a brand that's too big to fail, and it's almost like they're doing the ACC a favor. But now, I think it's perfect. If you feel they're that challenged, then put them in the 11 play-in, which is where they put them.
The play-in is where they belong. I think North Carolina, and again, this was the game that decided that when you talk about who was going to win the Memphis-UAB game. Memphis was going to get in. This is how the committee said they saw it. Memphis, win or lose, is getting in. But if Memphis wins, right, that creates potentially another spot because if UAB...
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
If he beats Memphis, who was a higher seed, and Memphis is in, then UAB gets in being the conference champion, and now North Carolina's they're not let in. That didn't happen. So now you had that extra spot, Mike, and you, to your point, okay, last one's in is North Carolina. I don't have an issue with it, but I know a lot of people
do. And we said this, you know, I was afraid Georgia might get stuck in that because they lost the first round to Ole Miss, but no, they didn't. So that's good news for Georgia. But the thing is, Georgia gets Gonzaga. And that's a really tough draw for the Dogs, but we'll see. I mean, if Mike White, if he said they deserve to be there, well, hopefully they'll get some clutch. We can talk about St. John's, and I thought, you know, that's one of those. I got them in Houston going to my championship. And again, everybody, no one gives a crap about your bracket, but everybody does multiples, have some fun with it. Have you done your bracket yet?
I have done my bracket. I did one. I'll do two more before I decide to which one I'm going to turn in here over the next 24 to 48 hours. But, yeah, and look, I'm on St. John's, too. They're very good. I know a lot of people may or may not have watched them this season. Rick Pitino, Mike, you've been talking about that show. He's done a terrific job. I like Georgia, by the way, in this game. Now, I don't think they're going to get blown out, but Mike, I know everybody's caught up with the brand names, and Gonzaga's been doing this for so long, and they've been so good, and Mark Few, and everybody. It's just automatic that you think Gonzaga in this situation. Guys, where they're seated, 8-9, they're not that much better than where they're seated. I'm just saying, this isn't a number one overall seed Gonzaga team. So Georgia has a shot to do something and shock a lot of people here. And the only shock will come with it being Gonzaga. It's not that this isn't the Gonzaga team from a few years ago that was supposed to win it all. 404-726-0929. That is our number, guys. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. And Mike Bell, happy St. Patty's Day, too.
Yeah, man. It's kind of weird. On a Monday, my kid brother is marching up in New York. And it's funny. When I was a kid, my dad used to march with three different bands, Carl. Maybe that's why he died of a heart attack. But I mean, he would basically march up Fifth Avenue. Three different bands. Have to change clothes. Three different outfits. Three different bass drums. The big bass drum. But it was fun. St. Patrick's is near and dear to our hearts. I know we had the Atlanta parade over the weekend down Peachtree, but Savannah, of course. Now, it's hard to call that really a St. Patrick's Day celebration. I call Savannah, Carl, honestly, a giant puke fest because that thing gets off the rails.
It's a crazy party.
But hopefully you've had a good fun St. Patrick's Day weekend, and Aaron Gobra.
I know a lot of people have gone, love to go every year. Yeah, that thing is off the rails.
Yeah.
In Savannah. They do it right, though. Hey, coming up, we got a lot to dive into, man. We'll get to the daily download. Falcons did exactly what we told you they'd do. And so what does it mean now? We'll discuss next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy St. Patty's Day on a Monday. This hour is brought to you by Padley, guys. Sell your home for cash fast. P-A-D-L-Y buys.com. There is a lot coming off the weekend, including a disappointing L for Atlanta United. But we do have some good Braves news that we are going to share with you as part of our daily download, so stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, just real quick, Duke, you know, we were talking about all the selection committee. You know, Duke's the number one seed for the 15th time. It's you know, they're matching Kansas for the second most all-time behind North Carolina, so no surprise. And look, I know, Mike, you know, we saw that Cooper Flagg injury last week, but if he can go, don't count out Duke. Because they're very good. And they were right. good without him. I mean, they were good without him here these last few games in the ACC tournament. But if he can go full go, then they're going to be a tough out as well. And, you know, for everybody that hates Duke, well, get back in line. Because they're going to be good. Probably have a long run this weekend, or should I say for the tournament as well. We're going to tell you all the teams we're talking about. Looking forward to seeing. Georgia's in, which is great news. And, you know, Mike has been hammering this with Mike White for about 3 weeks, because there was a time where it did not look like they were going to make the tournament.
No, they finished strong. They went over Florida. It was a big, big resume builder for Georgia. Yeah, like, we just want to see Georgia be good, you know? And the thing is, there's no more of this, okay, it takes 3-4 years. No, with the transfer portal, you do it like that, you know? And I thought Stoudemire did a nice job the way they finished for Tech. Obviously, still not where they want to be, and the injuries just overwhelmed Jackets. But I just think, you've got the conference now has got so much prestige. You know, there's no stigma, pardon the pun, or the alliteration about Stegman. They used to be like, oh, that dump. No, it's nice. They put money into it. It's got some juice. I just think now is the time to let's get things going. And the way you build this, as we said the other day with who is it? It was Connor Riley we had on talking about it, is it's time to see these guys win a couple of games in March Madness.
Totally agree. And again, you know, I may be the only one, and I say that because most people will just jump on Gonzaga. I think the Dogs have a really good chance for an upset here, and only because of what Gonzaga has done.
Problem
as a
is
program.
They get used to knowing that second.
Well, yeah. Got to win one, though.
Yeah, first.
Win one. Can't look ahead to what's coming. Win one, and then you say, okay, you know, what happens next? Houston is just ridiculously good defensively, and that's why a lot of people have them getting to the Final Four, but Dogs will continue to talk about and talk about what this looks like for all the SEC teams. And by the way, I said this to you guys a month or two ago. SEC team's going to win the national championship. I really believe that. You don't put 14 teams in. The Big Ten was next, obviously, with the most amount of teams. But you don't put 14 teams in. Your odds, number one, are tremendous. But number two, these aren't flukes. You know, even a missed state, Mike, and an 8 seed could make a run because they're that physical and good.
Ole Miss too.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm not counting out the fact that I think an SEC team is still going to cut down the nets in San Antonio.
Texas, by the way, also in that 11 play-in game.
Don't remind me.
Texas taking on Xavier. We already mentioned that you know, North Carolina is going to play San Diego State. But that's, I got to be honest, though, that is, with all due respect to American and Mount St. Mary's and Alabama State and St. Francis,
it's better.
These are games you will be interested in actually watching, yeah. You know, in these play-ins.
No, I agree with that. 404-726-0929. We got plenty to dive into today. Oren is here, of course, behind the glass. He is our engineer. Big O, good to have you, and I hope you had a great weekend. The house situation, real quick, what's the latest? What's the situation?
House that we are looking or interested in getting, finished up the inspection. Inspection came back good, so doing the counter right now, seeing what the previous owners are going to do for us, and then we'll go from there. So,
All right. It's moving in the right direction.
It's moving in the right direction, absolutely.
All right. Turtle is our executive producer. Let's get to the daily download.
Story number one.
We're talking about 14 teams selected to the NCAA tournament. A big deal. As a matter of fact, let's hear the number one overall seed being announced in the tournament.
Auburn is the number one overall seed, and they head up the South region, destination Atlanta and beyond. 16 quad one wins. They are a one seed for the second time ever behind SEC Player of the Year, Jahni Broome.
Jahni is a monster in the post. And you heard him in the South. Guys, that's here. Steve Koonin mentioned this to us, Mike. We get that South regional. So you're going to get a chance to see whether it's Michigan or Michigan State or Ole Miss. who's coming out of the South or Auburn. And for Auburn fans, come on. There's more Auburn alums here in Atlanta than anywhere else in any city in the South. And you're 2 hours away from Auburn. They're going to have a huge fan base here.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We talked about it with Puffy K, the idea of State Farm Arena. You know, I mean, there's nothing like it. It was kind of cool in the old days, Carl, but the sight lines always sucked at the Georgia Dome because you have the big curtain would be up there. You know, and you remember, Oren, how those seats would go all the way out slow? You're like, man,
can't see.
You need binoculars. So now, to put it, and that's the venues I think they always should be in until they get to the Final Four.
I'm with you. They should be in arenas until the Final Four. I totally agree. Let me hear Bubba Cunningham on the adjusted increase of SEC teams.
We really had to move people around to minimize the conflict early. And when you have, you know, four different regions, we made sure we only had four teams in one region so that we could spread them out the best we could. We had a couple of contingency brackets, and we actually had five. And so we had to go back and then try to rework the bracket a little bit to move them apart to the best that we could. But you're right, 14 teams out of one league in a 68-team bracket is a real challenge to get everybody in there and meet all of the principles that we have about trying to keep the teams apart.
That's committee chairman, North Carolina Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham.
And I presume it's just like with the College Football Playoff Committee, when Carolina comes up, he recuses himself from that conversation. Some would say that, like Carolina's a brand. And if you know nothing, like I said, as college basketball has become, you know, the one-and-dones, and just, let's be honest, the ratings have gone a little sideways, the casual fan knows North Carolina. Now, they don't know that North Carolina isn't very good this year compared to previous North Carolina teams. They just know the brand. So that's part of it. You want your brands in there. The SEC, I mean, you said it. It's a powerhouse. It just does mean more. They had that on top of the basket, if you didn't see that up in Nashville, for more emphasis. And I don't know if they were prisoner of the moment, but you said it. Florida really looks good. Florida looks so complete. When they were doing the breakdown on ESPN with Seth Greenberg and all the guys on the set, it was like they were just gushing about SEC and where they were for the SEC championship. But you're right. Can they do it? Can Houston be the monkey with the wrench, or can St. John's? You know, if St. John's is shooting the jump shot, then they can beat anybody. Houston, you talked about the defense. Florida, though, I think is the most complete.
I agree. And look, St. John's is a great story. I just kind of want to see him get to the Final Four because of the Patino thing.
Right.
I really do. I mean, like, everybody remembers how, you know, he was ostracized from the coaching ranks and, oh, he's a bad guy. Rick Pitino has done nothing but great things for college basketball. Right. Always.
And, you know, as they said, they made a point of it in that it's on Vice. I know not everybody has the channel, but it's on Vice Sports. I don't know how you have it. I have it on DirecTV.
Yeah.
And they've got one on Calipari. Then the Pitino one comes after that with St. John's. And it talks about after all the stuff. And look, yeah, there was a lot of unseemly stuff that went on in Louisville. But at the end of the day, they didn't get him for anything. So he did go to Greece. He paid his penance, comes back to Iona. And this would be, what, his fourth team going to the Final Four if he can get St. John's there. Because he took, what, Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, and now Johnny's.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that in itself says a lot. And I really like Nate Oates' team, too, by the way. Alabama, man, they score. They're a really good team. They got great guards. I will not tell you that Alabama will not be in the Final Four. Now, the irony is, if 1 and 2 meet in the East, that's Duke and Alabama, if they make it that far. So, but, you know, we'll see how things shake out. Meanwhile, we got to talk about what happened to the Hawks last night in story number 2.
Oh, good God.
Story number 2.
What happened to the Hawks last night?
Okay, this is why when we have these conversations about, hey, some of us parts, you know, good role players, you know, we got what we got for DeAndre Hunter, and they're pretty good. You can't lose games like this. You
cannot.
We
didn't play defense.
No. Nope. You did not, Nate. And this is why, you know, when we get, and we're not trying to sit there and be like we got cheerleaders with pom-poms, but when they get up a nice 4-game win streak and all of a sudden things are rolling, then they get absolutely destroyed by the Clippers. Clippers just blew them away in the second half. Well, they scored 9 points in one quarter. And then, of course, this is not what I wanted. So this is not hard to buy that they're just going to be a one and done, even with Trae Young.
I thought we were a little soft on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, all of that. 122-114 was the final score. Here's the thing. Hawks were in command of this game.
Yes.
And then they weren't. And it was like, can somebody hit a shot, please? It didn't happen. Let me hear Quinn Snyder talk about what the issue was. Defense?
Yeah, you know, we didn't start the game well, and then we played well the rest of the first half. And I thought, you know, I don't know what the – I think they scored 66 in the second half. Our defense was the issue. You know, we just didn't get stops on possessions we needed to.
We didn't play defense.
Yeah. Thank you, Nate. It's former coach and present coach. Now,
it still makes me laugh.
Makes me chuckle every time. Now, I don't know if you read too much or you don't read enough into like the plus minus, but the bench was, when the bench was on the floor, they're getting smoked. Barlow was minus 17. Terrence Mann was minus 15. Mm. Zach was minus 12. Everybody struggled. Only Trey was neutral. He was actually zero on plus minus. But yeah, they're making runs, more playing defense. And the Nets, that's a bad basketball team.
It is.
I mean, there's really no excuse for that one. But, you know, I didn't know what you thought about the Clipper game. I mean, it was in it, and then the Clippers just hit the gas.
Well, again, can somebody hit a shot, please? Like, where does the offense disappear to?
27% from the stripe against L.A.
That was the problem, Mike.
From the three-point line.
You're in the game, and then you're not. So those are two games.
And your perimeter defense, which always sucks, unless Dyson Daniels is running. You know, he can't play three guys at once. The Clippers shot 44% from three.
Yeah. The claw looked like the claw. I mean, all the things that we were not hoping to see. So next up for the Hawks is at Charlotte. That's Tuesday. That will happen here as the NCAA tournament first four. That's the two games, the first four in. That's going to be on our sister station, WAOK, but Tuesday, Hawks at Charlotte.
We lost two games, you know, to the Magic. We're now just a half a game ahead of the Magic for that seven spot. So it's very aggravating. Detroit is on a two-game. See, that's the thing. Detroit just lost two games. You're not supposed to. I'll give you the Clippers, but don't lose that game to the Nets.
Don't lose that game. Hey, let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
He's back. Spencer Strider, baby.
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't know if you guys saw this yet, but you will. Today, ground out, strike out, strike out, strike out, strike out. I'm not making this up. This was Strider's day on the hill. Fly out, strike out. Thank you, sir. You can go take a seat. He was electric today, Mike, in his first start in the spring. And all of a sudden now, this gives us a lot to be excited about.
Striking out six of the eight batters he faced. Carl just gave you the breakdown. Gets a standing ovation from the Braves fans that are out there. I mean, it was impressive. Got a full beard, too, by the way. He's got this whole like kind of Jeremiah Johnson thing going out there. But he looked great. And so you and I were like, how confident can you be? Will he be able to go by May? Well, based on what I just saw, there's not. I mean, I don't know why he couldn't go in April. He looks amazing. So that was great to see. Final, we'll get into the United a little bit later because that was a really heartbreaking loss. Great crowd, though. Great match for about, you know, 85 of the 90 minutes or 94 minutes of it, Carl.
Yeah, Mike, hasn't this kind of been our Achilles heel the last few years, giving up these late goals,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, and this one, there were some ugly turnovers. Brad did everything humanly possible for a goalkeeper. He could do no more last night if you watch the match.
All right, guys, we got more to dive into. He's still here. And I know many of you are going, why? We'll try to explain it to you next. So I tell you all the time, this show's ahead of the curve. And when we talked about Kirk Cousins and why the Falcons were going to pay him the $10 million bonus and keep him on the roster rather than cutting him, right now, to not take a $65 million cap hit, Mike, financially, it makes sense. So the Falcons owe Kirk Cousins $27.5 million for 2025. You add in Michael Penix's salary into that, you're basically paying your quarterback's total $30 million, right? Let's just round it off. Whether or not he's here when the season starts, that is a question I'm not sure I'm ready to answer right now. Because, Mike, when the draft plays out and maybe you have a team that might be interested and they're looking at this and that's when deals get done and you're trading away picks and stuff and you're getting movement, there's still a chance that that could happen. But let's just say it doesn't. Well, then we get to training camp. Well, guess what? Injuries happen. So there's still a lot of stuff that could play out before Mike and I don't know if you're ready, but to say, hey, first game of the season, Kirk Cousins is going to be on the sidelines. I'm not willing to tell you that yet. But right now, where we are, we told you this was what was going to happen. The $10 million roster bonus, Mike, became guaranteed on Saturday for 2026. Fine. Cut the check. You're too invested already, and you've got a guy, if you need him, that can back up Michael Penix if that's going to be the situation.
And from what came out over the weekend, the business of sports, the money, by the way, that you're going to lose right now in the short term will get paid back. You'll basically, a team's going to pick it up if you can trade him. So, again, it's an offset cost, Chris, if I read this correctly over the weekend. So, right now, yes, you're paying them. But next year, if they cut it before it comes due in March of 26, they'd be entitled to offsets. There's a trade. There's a lot of moving parts to this. But here's the one thing we've always said. If you don't find the trade partner, what happens that last week in July?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, are you really prepared? And maybe they are. maybe all this stuff that they've said that we said is like a poker game or a giant game of chicken is really what they're sticking there because they believe Kirk Cousins can come in, back up Michael Penix Jr., be the world's most expensive backup quarterback, and not be a distraction answering all the questions about the stuff he pulled from the time he eventually got benched, Carl, to what happened at the Super Bowl, to then actually asking Arthur Blank for a trade.
Yeah, yeah. I still feel like, Mike, there's a lot, again, that could happen. But then again, maybe this is settled in the eyes of the Falcons, in the eyes of the front office. Look, they've got bigger fish to fry, okay? To spend all this energy, and we've spent a lot of time on it because, again, we're just trying to figure out, you know, how guys are going to respond, what the team and the front office thinks about this whole scenario and situation. But, guys, they got to be focused on how to get this team better here in the next few weeks. That's the draft, okay? Getting the right guys in here. They went and signed their own guys and signed a few guys that maybe you agree or don't agree with. But the fact is, we got a lot of guys that we still have big question marks next to their names, Mike, because we don't know how good they're going to be. Mm. And they have to get that figured out before we start training camp again. So the energy right now shouldn't be on this. We cut the check. We know what this is. And if somebody comes calling, we have leverage now. We didn't just let him go and have to cut another big check and let somebody pick him up.
So now we wait. The waiting game begins. And now the craziest thing, we'll dive into this in 4th and 1, is we've expected that Kirk Cousins would go wherever Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or anybody else doesn't go. Now, after the flirtation, or at least the perceived flirtation with the Steelers, now the Vikings are interested in Aaron Rodgers and letting J.J. McCarthy cool his heels for another year. And the ultimate irony, Chris, our producer, was talking about this. If you remember, Brett Favre went to the Jets for 1 year and then went to the Vikings for 2. And now Aaron Rodgers potentially can go to the Jets for 2 and the Vikings for maybe 1.
Isn't that crazy?
Remember Brett Favre had that fumble? He had that missed handoff with Adrian Peterson. They could have beat the Saints.
Yep.
To go to the Super Bowl. But anyway, now Aaron Rodgers, and is he vindictive enough to want to stick it to Green Bay twice a year? I don't know. You try to read Aaron Rodgers. But this one is interesting. The Vikings feel that they've got a quarterback. They're prepared to let him sit another year. Now, the first year was an injury. That's interesting to me. At first I was like, well, aren't you going to roll with J.J. McCarthy? They realize their window is now on both sides of the football with a quarterback that Aaron Rodgers is still further down the road, obviously, than a rookie.
Yeah. Mike, it makes sense. But this gets back to our situation when – you know, when you've been saying, and I know a lot of people agree with you, which is you draft these guys, you play them.
There's no substitute for, I don't care what anybody says.
I don't either. But the difference is our guy wasn't coming off an injury.
No.
Right? The McCarthy thing happened in the preseason.
Yeah, and he looked great. Remember how good he looked in the preseason?
Dude, I thought he was going to be the starter day one. And then that happens, and obviously Darnold balls out and has a career year. But, yeah, I think you're right about where they think they are, Brian Flores' defense, and where they're at. They re-signed a bunch of guys on that defense, paid big money for some free agents that could have gone elsewhere. I don't know. That's going to be very interesting. But here's the thing, and this, again – but if that happens, that means the door is still open at these other places we've been talking about.
Now, hypothetically, the Steelers, the Browns, or the Giants. If the Giants don't go with Shador Sanders, who knows what they're going to do. But the idea, there's still a potential market, although the window is closing for Kirk Cousins somewhere. The Browns were the team that had the most ink written about him being interested in Kirk Cousins.
404-726-0929. Do not be mad at the Falcons. They did the right thing here. You are not paying this money. I know that you may be upset that he's still here, but you're not paying this money. They have already invested way too much in him to just cut another big check and let him walk. This buys them more time to work on a deal. And now we just have to see if it happens. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. And thank you for making this radio station Atlanta's number one sports station. And, of course, Dukes and Bell, it's number one sports show. As far as the draft is concerned, and you know, we're going to dive deeper. Guys, the countdown starts really now that we've kind of worked past free agency. There may still be some signings, but all the big stuff happened already. And now you just really have to focus on the biggest need. And somebody said to me, Mike, over the weekend, Dukes, you guys, I hear you guys all the time talking about defense. Okay, great. Pinpoint the biggest need. I've heard you say if you draft a corner, you won't be mad. I said, no, I won't be. Okay, so is that the biggest need? I said, well, no.
But it's a need.
But it's a need.
But do they feel, see, fans see Mike Hughes get signed, and they look at Mike Hughes, and most people just shrug, and they go, okay, I guess he's good enough. You know, when we got in the nickel, that's when we got in trouble. You know, it was the other guys, been a lack of pass rush. So a lot of folks look at this and say, is this sort of a short term? Are they going to dedicate a second round pick to a corner? Do they fall in love with the guy? Because what's the point in paying Hughes? Not a lot of money.
No.
If you're going to draft a corner with the first round, folks, you expect to plug him in and start him.
I agree.
So that's why maybe we think he's a second round pick.
With that said, the number one need is edge rush. We haven't had it. We need it. And we need a young guy with fresh legs who can grow into the job, and we grow to love him. That's what we need. I want to see Falcon fans down at the bins, Mike, wearing whatever number this guy's going to wear over the next decade.
Right.
And we say, remember when we drafted this dude. That's what we need.
Yeah, and I do think the connection to Georgia, why they made such a big, you know, dog and pony show to bring 22 guys out to Athens to look at Georgia's pro day. Mykel Williams, by every mock draft, it looks like 90% chance he's going to be there at 15. You know, Jalen Walker will be gone, most likely top 10. And again, if somebody falls in love with Mykel Williams, then he's gone too. But it would be a coup. The fan base would be stoked. Now, 50% of these guys crap out in the first round. You better get it right. So this is one where, and you're going to, don't yell at me before I say this.
What's that?
As much as I've railed against the organization, we're going, you know, three general managers back for never going with Georgia players, don't do it just to do it. This isn't the year. This is the year you've got to. This is the year where, I mean, I get it. It looks ridiculous as an organization.
Wait. Yeah. You don't want him in draft one just because?
Well, again, I don't trust the personnel department because they missed on so many defensive players. They've done pretty good by offensive players aside from Pitts. You know, they got the Bergeron thing right. Obviously, Bijan was a no-brainer. Drake's real good. But this is one. Defense, they struggle. They go for projects. They always go for the cute pick. You know, in this case, I hope their due diligence and their work says, yes, Mykel Williams, if that's the guy, is going to have more impact than Shamar Stewart or Mike Green from Marshall.
Yep.
And, yeah, but I get it, man. Fans will be energized. We'll have an easy show on Friday talking to Mykel Williams, from as far as the fan base goes.
It would be. And that is the biggest need. I mean, like, yes, we need a corner. You know what else? I'd still like one of these big defensive tackles. But
right.
Here's the thing. Use all three picks and do all of that and make us all happy. That's all you got to do. Use all three. Your first, your second, and your fourth, right? Because we don't have a third, okay?
Don't have a third.
And do that.
Now, perfectly, and this is where we get off in the weeds, but hey, man, if there's a way to move back and pick up a second or an extra, you know, or a third-round pick, I like that too. If you can have your cake and eat it too, that'd be the ultimate. But historically, for whatever reason, this franchise never goes backwards. They're always going up.
All right. So that's where we're at. That's the situation coming off the weekend with Cousins. And I just... If you're, I can't believe they did it. You're getting yourself all in a tizzy for nothing. you really are, because this is what it is. Like, we're past that stage of what happened. I was more upset about the circumstances surrounding Cousins and how he handled this situation than I am about the Falcons cutting the check.
Right. And this is just, guys, if you ever played sports from Little League to maybe you get lucky enough to play in college or whatever, just, it's weird. It's strange energy. It's stuff the media is going to, well, you know, our media, I got to be honest, in the 27 years I've been in Atlanta, they got more aggressive. They ask tougher questions. It's no more like rolling over. D's always in there. We got guys now, you know, that we'll do our part. We try to ask the tough questions.
Come on, you Jeff Schultz.
For sure.
But I mean, the idea that, you know, hey, can we talk to Kirk Cousins? What? No? He's getting treatment? How are they going to spin it? I mean, Kirk Cousins
he's been
is
in the treatment room for every day.
If Kirk Cousins is in camp, everybody wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
What happened? Why did you lie in the fall only to say, which one is the lie?
Guys, I've got a meeting I got to run to.
You know,
that's what'll happen.
What did you demand a meeting with Arthur Blank? Did you ask what did Arthur say? These are questions I'd love to ask the man.
Yeah, and I think Falcon fans would love to hear. And maybe, who knows? Maybe Cousins is being told, Mike, by his representation, you know, it doesn't help us if we say anything right now, right? So that's why he hasn't honored anybody's interviews or done any of this stuff. The other part of it is maybe he just don't want to do it because he knows what the truth is.
Yeah, like I said, we like the guy, charismatic guy. Don't know. I mean, like I said, Carl and I were joking around about this the other day. It's like, what is he? Is he just is he a con man?
Well, he's rich.
I mean, he's always played the system. His agents always maxed the dollars out. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, what is he? I mean, we were blown away by how outgoing he was, and just, you know, nothing against previous quarterbacks that been through here, but he's kind of, wow, this guy really wants to engage with the media, until he didn't. So, hey, by the way, the latest CBS mock draft, Mike Renner is the guy who did this, I want to say. Either way, yeah, it is. I'll get the name right. Mike Renner did this an hour ago. He's got us passing on Mykael Williams and taking Mike Green out of Marshall, the guy that was a sensation from the Senior Bowl throwing around that Colorado lineman.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of interest for explosiveness off the line of scrimmage, and I think that's something the Falcons are looking at and looking for. But
I just feel like size matters.
But it does. We need to get bigger. We need to get stronger and faster. I feel like the bionic man here, Mike. We need to get bigger, stronger, and faster.
The book on I saw a really good draft preview from Mykael Williams this week on NFL Network. They say that he's unpolished and oversized, but yet you know he's got the upside of the, you know it's a debate who's got the more upside. Some feel that Jalen Walker's got more upside, but in this mock draft they go with the Bengals and says it feels like a Bengals edge rusher because they know how to make these guys work.
Okay, let's hope so, man.
I mean, that's for the Bengals. That's Mykael Williams. Us skipping on him. If you covet him, you want us to take him. They got us taking Mike Green.
All right. Speaking of the NFL, they decided to pay everybody. And we're going to dive into this coming up as part of our fourth and one. It was big news over the weekend. It was kind of wait and see and how they were going to figure this out. But here's what's funny, and this is the thing we need to take from this. For everybody that says the Falcons won't do this or the Falcons won't do that, the Cincinnati Bengals guys have a reputation of being the cheapest organization and one of the worst owners in football. And they just did something, Mike, that nobody expected them to do. So we got to talk about that. A guy that was at least exploring other teams has gone back to the original team he was with. I think it's a good decision by him. Also, C.L. Brown, who is with the Courier-Journal columnist. He's a columnist, should I say, with the Courier-Journal. He covers the NCAA men's basketball. He's going to help us break down Selection Sunday. And later in the show, former Georgia Tech coach, he's now on ESPN, Josh Pastner, is going to stop by to help us break down this tournament as well, man. Lots of tournament talk today. Get your brackets ready, baby. It's tournament time. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.